Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Stuart Wiggins from Induna Advisors, where he brings resources together to help scale your business. I have Rhonda Bopenzen-Zimmerman. She is the Director of Fitness and Wellness at Global Trans and a professor at Grand Canyon University. And I have Jim Tam. He is the head of the Dallas office for Keystone Partners, where he helps people perform at their best through leadership development. The question I have for you today: how do you handle it when someone doesn't share all the relevant information that you need to make a decision? Jim, can you kick us off?
Yeah, sure. I think having worked in corporate America, you kind of experience that many times, whether it's from, you know, people who work for you or people who are your peers. I like to think that everybody's intentions are usually pretty good. Usually when they do not share all the relevant information that I need to make a decision is probably because they didn't see it. And I really find that many times as a manager or as a coach, it's really my duty to actually maybe enlighten them, share with them the big picture, and why is it important for me to have all the information before we go and make a decision.
So you think it's a mistake?
I usually like to think it's a mistake, but of course you look for patterns. If it's the same person making the same mistake, then that's when you might need to dig a little deeper.
Okay.
I would echo off that, Jim. I also give people the benefit of the doubt, but I had a situation, I was a vendor. Actually, two times that I can recall, both times I was a vendor and you're working with another organization and it was a power issue. So somebody came in new in the chain of command and they were just going to revamp the way programming was going on without really collecting any data as to what was working. And so what I did when I noticed this starting to happen is like, I questioned like other people that I worked with, like, are you noticing like this person is just kind of making decisions for me, for us without consulting with us? And then I brought it up to my manager and in time, the issue really didn't resolve itself. And eventually most of the team resigned, including myself, and we looked for work elsewhere. And eventually the person was let go by the university because they were definitely seeking some power and control and just weren't in it in a team effort. So
I looked at it differently, I think, perhaps, because the question was, how do you make a decision if someone doesn't provide all the relevant information? And so as I look at that, I think that there's probably a couple of things at play. A, it could be a power grab, because knowledge is power, obviously. It could be ignorance on their part. They just don't know that the information that they have is important. Or it could be the fact that they want to be the one to present the information. So I'll go to my second thought first. My second thought was that maybe they don't know it's important. So I think it's important as a decision maker to ask questions if you have the opportunity. And Robin, you know me well enough to know I'm a big question asker. Because the more questions you ask, the more likely you're going to get to a solution that is amenable to all involved. I, like the others in the group, have experienced people that think that information is power, but that's okay. That is okay if they want to think that, because I always like to think that I can position myself so that it's a win for both of us if they want to hoard the information. I mean, it could just be basic insecurities. I'm not going to embarrass you if you hold the information, but I have certainly in many cases in the past has pulled somebody aside, put my arm over their shoulder, kind of like LBJ used to do, and say, look, we're not going to play this game again. You look them dead in the eyes, and it's amazing how effective that can be. So it depends on your role. It depends on the information we're talking about, the criticality of it, and it really depends on the previous relationship that you and the other person had that's withholding the information.
Yeah. I think for me, there's a difference in if I ask you directly and you avoid telling me, that is definitely a lie of omission. Hardcore, I asked and you didn't tell me. If we're having the conversation and the topic didn't come up, I'm a little more willing to give the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, maybe they didn't realize it was important that I needed to know that. But if I ask you and you avoid it, no, that's not going to work for me at all.
When the two times this showed up, that really it became an issue, there are multiple people involved. So it wasn't just me. So this person, for whatever reason, were in a leadership role and nobody questioned them or nobody challenged them. So upon leaving and doing that extra interview and you disclose this information, even after trying to put an arm around the person and get buy-in, they were still not receptive at all. So I think when we're in those situations, having honest conversations and not sugarcoating it and assessing, there's probably other people that have been in similar situations. So
yeah. And when they do that, they're usually trying to keep the information because they think that it's beneficial to them. And I have had situations where people haven't given me information and I've made decisions based on the information I had that were to their benefit, that had I had all the information, I would have made a different choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple of times that I can remember is that I need to show them the impact of them withholding information. I think it's up to the manager to ask specific questions so that it kind of draws information, because a lot of times they may not think it's relevant and they don't understand the impact of not having that piece of data. But let's say you made a bad decision and then you need to go back to them and say, hey, because you didn't tell me this, this is what ultimately happened. I like to see everything as a coaching moment. And if I was able to survive that, then hopefully we can live and not have to relive that later on.
I'm a big believer in the 70% solution. Not everything requires 100% of the information for the situation to be successful. I mean, we're not going to war. So can you operate on that 70% of the information and then be flexible enough as more information comes in to make the adjustments as required? So that's sort of been the way I've kind of handled myself throughout my career, because this is for the group. Do you ever really have all the information?
No. And the higher you get up in an organization, the less information you have.
I should say that also information is just always a point in time that things change.
And we're talking about this from a business point of view, but this happens in personal relationships too, where people withhold information about who they are or what they want or whatever. And you end up in a situation where you're in a relationship with someone that you're like, wait, I asked you this question and you didn't give me good information.
Yeah. Or there's the lie of omission, not knowing that there was an issue maybe with previous behavior. And then you're in this relationship and then people are on their good behavior in the beginning. And then the real person shows up, and that can certainly be challenging.
And where is that line between that was a lie of omission, where you purposefully didn't tell me, and a, oops, I forgot to tell you kind of thing? I think that that's hard to judge.
You look for motive in terms of why would they withhold it, because they're either embarrassed or they think that you may not like them. There's also a cultural element to it. When I was managing a team in Asia, they're not comfortable telling bad news to their manager. Mm. And it took me a while to understand that's the way they are. They rather get punished later than lose face at the moment. And I had to change my Western management style. We kind of met halfway, but later on I said, it's okay to tell me bad news. I'm not going to bite your head off.
Because if you're in a corporate environment where the culture is you don't share information, you don't share bad news, that can be hard, because then you can end up in situations where it's not a lie of omission. It's just purposefully, I don't share bad news.
And that can lead to a whole host of issues and fallout that maybe we didn't even contemplate. Locking issues behind closed doors is never a good solution, because eventually it's going to manifest in some way within an organization or your personal life.
It may be bad news now, but it will be worse news in the future. But it depends on how you responded in the past. It's like a simple analogy. It's like the dog. If I yell at the dog for something, then the next time the dog sees me in a similar situation, he's going to kind of cower down. But or if you have kids, if you're encouraging along the way, then people are more reasonable about bringing bad news to you.
It's about creating that culture where people are open and able to say, and if someone realizes somewhere along the way, oh, I should have said this to you and I didn't, they're going to come to you and say, you know what, we had this conversation, I realized I didn't say this and I should have, rather than it being, ooh, I didn't say that, maybe I should just be quiet about that now going forward.
One thing we started doing was celebrating people who spoke up. It's like psychological safety, right? I'm not going to get my head ripped off by raising my hand if I disagree or if I'm forthright with some bad news. But if it helps the overall decision-making process, then it's my duty almost.
I would say since the pandemic, that's something we've really doubled down on, like creating a psychologically safe space for our team to air whatever they're feeling in the moment and where they need support. And that really has helped us create more of a holistic approach to how we go about our day-to-day responsibilities in a way where we all feel supported and are collectively successful in the workplace.
I think that one of the things I used to do is when I go into a new role, either meet with a group or send a note out that says how I like to do business. Somewhere close to the top of that is don't shed light where there is no darkness, and bad news only gets worse with time. So if you set the stage for that at the very beginning as a leader, then the hope is that if there is some really bad news, they come to you with it and you can solve the problem.
And that is a great way for us to end a 10-minute conversation. Thank you so much for having it with me, and I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.